All right, you guys, go ahead and grab your seat. So excited. Isn't it awesome to be at a church to where you want to greet everyone, you want to talk with them, you want to fellowship, and truly you want to live life together. So I'd encourage you, maybe you were having a conversation and I cut it short. Invite them out to lunch today. Go grab a cup of coffee with them this week, because it's not just about going to neighborhood group. It's not just about showing up here on Sunday mornings, but it's about making connections that matter so that we can pour into one another this week. So I would encourage you to do that this morning. Some of you may be like, man, Jeff, why have you changed? No, just kidding. Most of you guys know he's on an amazing trip to Israel. He's been there for this last week and he'll be there this week. So more importantly, we need to be praying for Melissa, because she is at home with all the kids. Luckily, she does have some support. So be praying for them, though. Just pray that God would have an impactful time in Jeff's life while he's there. I mean, this morning he sent me a message and said, hey, man, praying for you guys as a church in the Garden of Gethsemane. How awesome is that, to be praying, to know that he walked the path that Jesus probably walked. Isn't that amazing? And I'm sure he's going to come back and tell us all kinds of stories about it. But be praying for them and their family just while he's away. And for those of you that are new to Trilogy Church, we welcome you here this morning. As Ray mentioned, please fill out the card, drop it off either in the generosity box or at the Welcome Center. But also, too, for those of you that have been attending Trilogy, you know that last week we ended the 21 days of prayer and fasting. So I know some of us, even if we're not excited about the Super Bowl, we're excited about some great food this afternoon because of it. But as we ended the 21 days of prayer and fasting, I want to challenge each and every one of us to think towards the rest of 2019. Because so many times we will take that time, we'll start in prayer and fasting, and then we'll look back on the year at the end of 2019 and we'll be like, what happened to my God walk? What happened to me along the year? And some of it is because we take that first month and we push into all that God has for us. We ask him, what can we set aside for him? And we do it for that moment. But then we just go into the motions the rest of the year. And so I would challenge you this morning, constantly ask God. Maybe start praying this morning. Say, God, what would you have me to give up in February that's going to honor and glorify you? Or maybe it's just pushing into what he's been doing in your life through prayer time or word and worship, whatever that may look like. I just want to challenge you to not let the beginning of the 2019 be the closest that you are to God. I pray and hope for each and every one of us that we all end 2019 and we're able to look back and say, man, God, you've done so many things through me. I'm not the same person I was in the beginning. And so as Ray mentioned this morning, it is Super Bowl Sunday, as he said, some of you are rooting for one team or another. Some of you are more concerned about the food. That's actually what I am today, since there is no Texas team playing in the Super Bowl. But as I prepared this morning for this message, God really brought to me a message that I believe correlates a lot to football and the games that we play. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about getting off the sidelines and getting in the game. We're going to be talking through the book of 1 Samuel 17. And so if you want to go ahead and turn there in your Bibles or in your smartphone app, you can this morning. But we're going to be actually talking about the story of David and Goliath and what it truly means for us to get in the game. And so we're only going to be reading some excerpts from this. So I would encourage you throughout this week, if you haven't read the story of David and Goliath, or maybe it's been a while, make it as part of your reading plan this week to read through the book of Samuel, chapter 17, 1 Samuel, and read through it. Because the story starts off like this. The battle lines are drawn. There's the Philistines on one side, the Israelites on the other. And the Philistines send out their champion, Goliath. I don't know about you, but even just when I hear that name, it sends maybe a little shiver down your back. Because that's a powerful name. But Goliath comes to the front lines, and as you can dig into that story in Scripture, we find out that he is a very big man. He is almost 10 feet tall, his armor weighs about 125 pounds, and he carries a spear that was about 15 pounds. He wouldn't even make a big guy like me look like a little child. And so Goliath comes out, and he taunts the assembled Israelites, demanding that they send out their own champion to engage him in battle. He didn't want it to be an all-out war of everybody fighting back and forth. He said, let's bring it to one-on-one, and whoever is victorious will win and the other party will become the slave. And so we're going to jump in on verse 11 to hear the reaction that the Israelites had to Goliath's taunting. In verse 11, it says, "On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified." We have to remember this morning that the Israelites are God's chosen people, but yet they were afraid and terrified of the enemy that stood before them. They were stuck in indecision and fear because they saw the enemy that they were about to face. When we really think about it, isn't that sometimes how we act? We know that we're God's chosen, we're God's children, we're his sons and daughters. And he calls us to a fight. He calls us to stand up for something. And then we see what's in front of us, and we stand still and do nothing, much like the Israelites. You see, they were dismayed and terrified, but it doesn't have to be that way. You see, I think the Israelites fell into this problem that some of you may have heard in your work life or whatever. It's paralysis due to analysis. You see, they looked at their enemy and they said, you know what, this enemy is so great, how are we going to overcome them? All of us are just mere men. What are we going to do? Some of us think of it in our lives, whenever we're called to stand up and face battles and trials or obstacles that are around us, and we get stuck in that paralysis because we don't think we can make a change. Maybe it's something that God has called you to. God has called you to walk something out, and you say, God, I don't know that I'm going to really make an impact in that. And so you decide to do nothing. You sit on the sidelines just like the Israelites. And I want to tell you a story this morning. There's a story where this little boy, he loved going to the beach. He would always go to the beach and go for a walk. Every Saturday morning he would go. Well, this Saturday morning was a little bit different. He walked out to the beach, and there was thousands upon thousands of starfish just lined up along the beach. And so he started picking one up, throwing it in the ocean, picking one up, throwing it in the ocean. And he continued to do that for about 10 or 15 minutes. And there was an older gentleman that was walking the other way that saw what he was doing. And he walked up to him and he said, son, he said, don't you know that you're not really going to make an impact or a change? Can't you see all these thousands of starfish that are here that are going to suffer and die? And the little boy thought for a moment. He even got a little sorrowful about it because he's like, well, maybe I can't make a difference. But then deep down inside of him, he picked up another starfish, threw it in the ocean, and said, I just made a difference for that one. And then he grabs another one, picks it up, and throws it. There's another one that I just made a difference. You see, so many times we look at the obstacles and the things in front of us, and we look at the vastness of it instead of the small steps that God calls us to. Because you can make a difference in those small steps that you take with God. But it's also remembering that the thing that God has called us to in those areas that we think we can't change, we're not drawing on our own strength. We're drawing on God's power, and he can change in it. Which it leads me to this quote this morning by Warren Wiersbe. It says, nothing paralyzes our lives like the attitude that things can never change. We need to remind ourselves that God can change things. Outlook determines outcome. If we only see the problems, we will be defeated. But if we see the possibilities in the problems, we can have victory. It's a powerful quote because, one, it reminds us that things can change. The obstacle or enemy in front of us, it can change. That problem that we face, it can change. That fear that we have in us, it can change with God. Which leads me to a first take-home truth this morning is that God called us to be followers of Christ, not just a fan of the church. You see, fans sit on the sidelines but never move to action. Followers get in the game. They're willing to push forward. They're willing to suit up. They're willing to push in. Now, don't get me wrong. As followers of Christ, we do need to be a fan of the church. We need to cheer it on. We need to be praying for the other churches in the city that are standing on the Word of God and pushing forward. But yet, we don't need to just be a fan. We need to truly be a follower of Christ to have that impact. Imagine it this way. Again, I told you there was going to be some parallels between the game of football and how we're going to be walking this out. Imagine a team. They go through the whole week. They study the game plan. They study everything that's needed. They even suit up and practice throughout the week. And then they get ready for kickoff. The coach calls them over. He huddles them up, and he calls out the play, what it's going to be. And he says, all right, team, get ready, break. And only one or two of the people walk on the field, and the rest stay on the sidelines. If we think about that, though, so many times that's us, because we're afraid to face the battles that are in front of us. We're afraid to step out in the things that God has called us to, even though we know the God that we serve and the power that he has. And so I hope this scripture encourages you this morning, if maybe that's where you're sitting this morning, is Deuteronomy 31:6. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You see, we serve a God that not only is with us, but he is for us. That in our weakness, he is strong. And even when we think we have the strength to do it, his strength is better. And so the story continues on. So the Philistines were taunting the Israelites. The Israelites and Saul are dismayed. And then David steps on the scene. David is the youngest son of Jesse, and he finally hears Goliath's taunts while on an errand from his father to bring supplies to his brothers who are stationed on Israel's front line. And then we're going to jump into verse 26. It says, David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You see, from the onset, we see why David has such a different response to Goliath than his fellow Israelites. You see, even as we look back at the story, David's brothers even taunted him when he came to the front lines. He came to the front lines and his brothers said, why are you even here? You're just bringing us food. You can't make a difference. Go away, basically. They were taunting him himself. But David knew the power of his God and the absurd position of those who would oppose and mock the Lord. We all need to be ready because at some point in our life, we will face battle or trials. No matter how godly we are, no matter how much we're chasing God, we're going to face trials. James 1, 2 to 3 says this. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. It doesn't say when you give your life to God, you won't have any battles or trials. It says whenever you face trials of many kinds. So that's also to tell us it's going to come in different ways that we will be attacked. And we have a choice to make. Will we choose to get in the game? Or will we fight? Or will we sit on the sidelines of excuses? And I think so many times the reason that we choose to sit on the sidelines is that we don't have the proper perspective. You see, David had the proper perspective when he stepped on the scene. Some of us, our problem isn't as bad as we see it. It's just that we have the wrong perspective. So I want to pretend this morning that this is a problem that you're facing. Some of you, maybe it really is a problem. Maybe there's some issues with your phone that you have that sometimes you want to chunk it out the way. But pretend this is a problem that you have. And so we have this problem that's in our life that we're facing, that we're trying to deal with. And before you know it, we start looking at the problem, we try to analyze it, and we say, man, I have this problem in my life, and I don't know what to do with it. And then we continue to look at the problem, we say, man, this problem that's in front of me, I don't know how I'm going to deal with it. And then we continue to focus on it until we can't see anything around us. You see, so many times we get so focused on our problem, we can't see the provision that God has provided. You see, that's where the Israelites fell into the trap. They saw the problem of Goliath and they forgot about their God. This morning, if we would keep our eyes focused on Jesus, this problem, if we hold it up to the physical sun that gives us light, it seems minute, it seems small. But when we hold it to our face, it looks like an overcoming obstacle that we can't overcome. And so we need to have David's perspective this morning of the problems that come against us. And so word eventually comes to Saul that David wants to fight Goliath. And we're going to pick it up in verse 33. It says, don't, and this is Saul talking to him, don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. So not only is he telling him he can't fight, but he doesn't think he will win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. You see, Saul and the Israelites were stuck on the sideline of excuses. And unfortunately, when we're stuck on the sideline of excuses, we try to keep people there with us. And I believe that's what was happening with Saul and the other Israelites, was they were trying to keep David from pushing forth into what God was calling them to overtake. You see, they were trying to keep him on the sidelines. They were saying, you're but a young boy. What good are you going to do? But yet it doesn't stop there, thank God. But I believe for us personally, there are three excuses that keep us individually on the sidelines this morning. And I want to talk about them so that we can deal with them. The first excuse is that I'm not qualified. You see, David's brothers tried to taunt him and tell him he wasn't good enough, that he didn't have the strength to do it, that he's just an errand boy. Saul even claims that he's just a boy in his youth. Some of you may be hearing some of this, and these may be the things that the enemy is attacking you against, saying, oh, but you're but a young person just chasing after God. What impact are you going to have? Or maybe for you it's, oh, you're an old person. You're past your prime. What good are you going to do? But I'm here to tell you, if you have breath in your lungs, God isn't done with you yet. And too many times when we use the excuse that I'm not qualified, we think it's just about the church staff or just about the church leadership or those that have their lives perfect. But God intended us all to be equipped and empowered with the Holy Spirit. You see, there will never be enough church staff and leadership to meet the needs of the world. We're all called to be part of that solution. None of us are called to ride the bench or even feel like we're second string. None of us are stepchildren or stepdaughters in the kingdom of God. We're all sons and daughters of Christ. Which leads me to the next take-home truth this morning is that we aren't called to just accept Jesus and go to church. We're called to be the church. We're called to step outside of these walls and not let our worship just be done on Sunday mornings. We're called to let our serving not just be done in setting up chairs and tearing them down, but in serving our neighbors. Because God has qualified us for it. You see, a great friend of mine that's pastor at Church 828 that we came from, he had this term whenever he would talk with somebody about being qualified. Is first off, Jesus is the qualifier. It's not about us, it's about him. And if he has called you to do something, you are then qualified. I know it's a made-up word, it's okay. But if he's calling you to do it, he's going to qualify you to walk it out. But only if we rely on his strength. Too many times we give up along the path because we see that it's not achieving what we thought it would achieve, but then we realize it's under our own strength and not his. So the next excuse I want to talk through this morning is the excuse that I will do it later. So many of us are putting off what God has called us to do, or even the enemies that he's called us to face. You see, the Israelites were stuck in this. If you haven't ever read this story, the Israelites were taunted for 40 days twice a day. I don't know about you, but if my wife was taunting me for that much, something would change. Something would happen. It wouldn't last for 40 days. Trust me, there would be a change a lot quicker. But yet, what did they think? Did they just think, oh, Goliath's going to pack it up and go away, that the Philistines are just going to go away and say, oh, I guess we're not fighting them anymore. Let's go find someone else to pick a fight with. No, they knew that Goliath and the Philistines were going to stand their ground. And I think some of it is that the Israelites, they had come accustomed to war and putting on the face of a battle, but not the action of it. And they were too busy pretending to fight a war than taking action towards that war. They were suited up. They were on the front lines. They were ready for battle, but they just sat there. Many of us are too busy doing things, but not doing the stuff that God has called us to. We put off what we know he has called us to, but we must remember that we're not promised tomorrow. You see, I want to bring this home with this little tidbit of illustration. It's found in Luke 9:59-60. And this is Jesus. He's talking to a man. He says to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus is calling this man to come follow him. And from everything that I've read about this is that this man's father most likely hadn't died yet. He was still alive. He was still living. And it was this guy's way of saying, you know what, God, I have some things I need to get together first. I need to stay with my family. Don't get me wrong, I think God's all about family. But I think this guy was using it as an excuse to delay his following of God. He was like, you know what, he probably got to thinking, my father's in his old age, maybe he'll die in the next 5 to 10 years, then I'll give it all to Jesus. How many of us are doing that with God? We're putting off what God has called us to push into and to proclaim the kingdom. Which leads me to another take-home truth this morning is that the last thing I want to do is waste my life on earthly activity that is lacking spiritual productivity. You see, the things that we're doing in our lives, we should be busy, but we should be busy doing God's work. You know, so many of us are too busy chasing the things of the world, and then we're asking God, why aren't you in it? When instead we should be saying, God, what are you doing and where do I fit in? And stop putting it off till tomorrow. So I'd encourage you, do what God has called you to do today and don't put it off. So excuse number three that I believe is touched on is the excuse of holding on and not letting go. You see, the Israelites held on to that fear. Don't get me wrong, I believe in times of our life there are going to be things that we face and that we battle that cause us to have fear. But then we need to remember the God that we serve. And that's where the problem fell for the Israelites is day in, day out, for 40 days, they sat in their fear. You're trying to follow God, but yet you're holding on to something. Maybe for you, you're holding on to the world, or maybe for you, you're holding on to something that you feel is more valuable than God. You see, there's a story of the rich young ruler that's found, if you want to look it up later, in Mark 10, 17 through 22. This rich young ruler comes up to Jesus and he says, Jesus, what must I do to inherit the eternal life? And Jesus turns to him and says, do you know about my commandments and have you kept my commandments? And the rich young ruler says, yes, I have since I was a young boy. I knew them in and out and I kept them. And then Jesus looks at him and he says, one more thing that you need to do then. Go and sell all your stuff and give it away. And unfortunately in this story, the rich young ruler goes away sad. Because his stuff had a hold of him. You see, this rich young ruler knew the commandments of God. He knew the things that God had called him to. He had the playbook down in those days. But yet his heart was captured by something else. His money. For you this morning, maybe it's not money, but maybe yours is captured like the Israelites with fear or doubt. Or maybe it's captured by the world. Which leads me to the next take-home truth this morning is that we are feasting on things of the world that leave us empty when we should feast on the Word because it's the only place we will find contentment. It's the only place that we will find contentment in who God is. Because when we are content in God and His Word, the things of this world won't matter. We won't hold on to them. If it's money that you have a hold of, get God's Word in your heart, and you will find that you won't have to hold a grip onto it. If it's fear, He will help loose that in your life. Because Luke 9:25 says, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world, but yet to lose his soul? You see, David didn't have to deal with any of these excuses. He walked up on the scene, and he knew what God had called him to do. So David responds by insisting to Saul that he had learned some things in his previous battles that he had as a shepherd. But more importantly, he actually reiterates what he had said on the front lines to his brothers and those other Israelites that were there. And we're going to jump in on verse 36. It says, your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them. For he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go and be with the Lord. You see, the reality of it is that David was no match for Goliath in terms of earthly strength. Goliath was a big man. But earthly strength means nothing when the Lord fights for you and with you. And some of us need to remember that this morning. Because David endured Goliath's taunts, but he didn't let those taunts keep him down. He heard those taunts, and it didn't make him sit on the sidelines like the Israelites. It made him rise up because he realized the God that he served and where his strength comes from. David kept his eyes open to the opportunities where God would use him and not just focused on himself, but on God. You see, David didn't say to Saul, you know what, I've gone against these things. I've had these previous battles, but you know what? I've never faced a Goliath before. Let me go away for a little while and train. Or let me go away for a little while and just pray about it. Or let me go away and just take some time to get better. But yet he didn't do that. He realized that God had called the Israelites to defeat Goliath, and he knew that God would equip him to do it. Just think of it this way, because I think so many of us, we get stuck in the wheel of perfection. We get stuck thinking that everything has to be perfect. You see, just think of the players that are going to suit up this afternoon to go play football. Just think if those quarterbacks, if they never stepped on the field until they threw 100 passes without a drop ball or a miss. None of them would play. None of them are that good. And none of us are that good. The only way that we are that good is when we draw our strength from God. But too many of us are waiting for things to be perfect before we take that leap of faith. And so we get stuck on the sidelines because things will never be perfect. God wants us as we are. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking to bring about perfection in us. No matter how much training or studying we do, it won't matter if we don't get in the game with God. You see, James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not only hearers, deceiving yourselves. We must not just fill ourselves with the word, but we must be willing to walk it out. Because this leads to the next take-home truth, is that it doesn't matter if you can quote the Bible if you live like you haven't opened it. So many of us, if we're honest, I'm being honest here. These are, don't get me wrong, I'm not preaching at you guys. These are things God has convicted me of as I was preparing. You see, David walked it out, what he believed. He didn't just hide it in his heart. He didn't just say, I serve a God Almighty. Okay, Israelites, go get Goliath. He said, no, I serve a mighty God, and this Philistine is defying my God. And I'm going to take a stand with God. Because Jesus didn't die on the cross just so we could talk about him and what he did. But he did it so that we would follow him and impact the world. Because there is a point in our lives where talk is cheap and action is expensive. And David knew that. But he knew the expense was worth it for the outcome. And so we're going to jump in verse 45. It said, David's getting ready to go onto the field. So David said to the Philistine in verse 45, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Verse 46, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands and strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give you the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Verse 47, and all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. In verse 48, as the Philistines moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. And then verse 49, reaching into his bag, he took out a stone. He slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. I don't know about you, but even just reading over that scripture, I feel my spirit rising up, because I believe some of us need to be like David, to the things that come against us. Some of us need to talk out to our problems and even to Satan and say, Satan, you come against me with fear, with doubt, with hopelessness. But yet I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. You have tried to defy me and defy the people around me, but yet God will be victorious in it. Which leads me to the last take-home truth this morning is that the thrill of the win or the pain of defeat only come when you get in the game, but this choice is better than the lukewarm satisfaction of sitting on the sidelines. You see, God has called us all to action. He has called us all to get in a game, and I know I'm using the correlation of a game, but the reality of it is there is a real heaven and there is a real hell, and there is no games about it. And I don't know about you, but for me, I want to hear when it comes the end time, I want to hear from Jesus, well done, my good and faithful servant. It's not because I'm perfect, but it's that I'm chasing after him and all that he has. You see, at the beginning of a game, everyone looks the same. But at the end, you can tell who has played and who hasn't. At the end of this life, Jesus will judge and decipher who was in and who was out. Who went all in for God, and who decided to sit on the sidelines? Maybe this morning, I have one last analogy that I want to talk through because I believe it correlates between the Israelites and David with a question. Is this morning, do you want to be a thermostat or do you want to be a thermometer? I'll give you the answer. You want to be a thermostat. Because you see, the Israelites, they were a thermometer. They registered the things around them. They took the temperature of it, but they did nothing to change it. You see, a thermometer just registers the temperature. Whether the mood is good or bad, it just says what it is. If it's hot or cold, just says what it is, and it registers it. And too many times when we act like the thermometer, we feel like we're the victim instead of the victor. But yet I believe God called David, and he's calling us to be a thermostat. The difference is the thermostat, it registers the temperature of things around it, but when it needs to, it changes it. You see, some of us need to realize that we have the power of the living God in us, and when we walk into a room, it should change the atmosphere. Not because of who we are, but because of who is within us. You see, we see the God potential and the change that needs to occur, and we're willing to stand for God and not be swayed by the circumstances around us. You see, the thermostat tells the environment if it needs to go hot or cold. And some of us, that's what we need to be, and that's the thing that God has called us to this morning. So this morning, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and going to give you guys an opportunity to respond. I would ask you guys to bow your heads with me this morning. Maybe for you, maybe you were hearing this sermon this morning and you said, you know what, David, that's great. You're talking about getting in the game and the excuses and maybe I'm halfway giving my life to God. But maybe for you this morning, maybe you're someone that you say, you know what, I need to go all in for God. I haven't given my life to him. I know that I have problems. I know that I have things that I need to be forgiven of. And I need to hand my life wholeheartedly over to God, so that I can pour into all that he has for me. If that's you this morning, I would ask you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you this morning. Give you an opportunity to accept Jesus and all that he has for you. Maybe for you this morning, maybe you say, you know what, I've given my life to God and I'm trying to walk it out. But you need God's perspective. Maybe you've become too focused on your problems and the things that are around you, and you're missing out seeing on the vision and direction that God has for you. If that's you this morning, I would ask you to raise your hand so I can pray with you this morning. Do you need God's perspective in your life? That you're too focused on your problems, that you're missing out on the things that God has for you? And then I believe there's one last response that we can have this morning. This morning, maybe you realize, you know what, I've been stuck on the sidelines and I need to be a person of action. I need to be willing to stand up to those Goliaths and defeat them the way that God has called me to. Or maybe God has called you out to do something and you've been sitting on the sidelines because you feel like you can't make a difference. You can't change it. But yet it's not about you, it's about God. If that's you this morning and you want to be a person of action for God, I would ask you to raise your hand so I can pray with you this morning. Jesus, I thank you this morning, Lord Jesus. I thank you.